This is Hope Roth. I have not yet taken over the show. You are listening to AV Power Up.
Hey, everyone. This is Johnny Motto. You can find me at JMoto3 on Twitter. It is some people's favorite day of the week, Hump Day, or I like to refer to it as Taco Wednesday. You're listening to AV Power Up.
Nice.
Right. And I'm Katie McGregor Bennett, at Katie McGregor or at KMB_com. This is AV Power Up.
Yes, it is. And I am Corey Moss at CB Moss. And you are listening to the show, Let's Power It Up. And here is your host, me. Yes. Yeah, you all heard this. What?
I was going to say, AV Power Up is like a fruitcake. You can try and give it away, but they just give it right on back.
They just give it right back, you know. And the hosts leave, and, you know, what are you going to do? Krista Bender, who was the host for 36 episodes, I think is the count, just flat out left us. You know, she said goodbye on the last show and took off, and, you know, and she's gone. So somebody's got to host this thing, and everybody on this podcast flat out refused. I tried to pay them money. They refused. So if all recall, back in the good old days, I hosted shows and they went downhill pretty fast. This show, I think, is still on an uphill climb, but very soon we're going to see if this thing starts hurtling downhill. Katie got the mountains in Montana, okay? We could be hurtling down a mountain in Montana with this show, okay? But before we get to that, yes, here she is, our bright, shiny new crew member from that great state of Montana. Go Grizzlies! Katie McGregor Bennett. She has dragonflies in her internet and connected alpacas. We'll get to that. Hey, Katie, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good. So that great state of Montana, I think it's the Grizzlies. It's the University of Montana out there. They have other colleges and universities and football teams. I don't know their names. So if Montana's listening, if you can give me the name of another football team, please. Okay. But there's a special hashtag that's in development, Katie. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we were talking the other day about tech and sort of tech in odd places. And as we've gotten further entrenched here in Montana, we realized that it's kind of crazy, but there is quite a tech base here. And there's a lot of companies that are actually moving or individuals that are moving and bringing their tech here to develop and advance. And the funny thing is none of us really know that the other exists. So we're going to take that to the social sphere. And we're going to create hashtag tech in MT for Montana. Mm-hmm. And through KMB Communications and through my own Katie McGregor handle, we'll be kind of bringing some of the tech and developers that are here in the great state of Montana to light.
Yeah.
And kind of helping share their story and see where it goes. You know, it doesn't have to be in Montana. You know,
I like that. I really like that because you look at Montana, you know, you talk about your major cities and all, but you know, you have a place like Montana, and what kind of tech is there in Montana? I think we can develop this as we go. So, yeah, Katie, let's get that going. Corey, you've got some Montana lineage there, don't you? Corey?
Oh, sorry, I was muted.
Okay, no problem.
I love Montana, so big sky country, so that's where I was raised. And so I grew up on a cattle ranch near Missoula, Montana.
Oh, Missoula.
And I actually bought a one-way ticket out because I didn't think there were any jobs there. So, Katie, it's good to hear that there's some jobs back in Montana. They need it.
Come on back, Corey. Come on back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's QSC going to do if you take off and go back to Montana, Corey?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Joe Pham will not allow that, right?
No, Joe Pham will not allow that.
No. Joe, don't worry. We're only talking about it. Corey's not going to Montana. Anyway, there is Corey Schaefer, QSC. Now, the distinction Corey has is she did the very first AV Power Up last year. She did the very last AV Power Up last year and the very first AV Power Up of this year.
Woo!
Corey, I've got to tell you, you are AV Power Up now.
I feel really powered up.
Yeah, I hope you feel powered up. You've had enough caffeine. And by the way, thank you for the coffee yesterday. It really went down well.
You're welcome.
Corey got one of my coffees yesterday with the C-O-R-E-Y. And Corey is C-O-R-Y. So for all of you who know, Corey usually gets her coffee spelled right. And if it isn't, it goes to me. So there you go. We have two more QSCers here. But before we get to them, we have the crew who have returned. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the support. Johnny Moda at JModa3. Hope Roth at Beer and Pie. Johnny, thanks for returning.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Also, thanks for that bonus.
Was it enough for you?
I mean, there wasn't enough Bitcoin or whatever we pay people with, but it was something. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought I'd try Bitcoin, you know, for Christmas, see what you know. But if it didn't work for you, we'll see if we can go do gold bullion at the end of this year, okay?
I'll take coffee.
Coffee works too. Quick thing for you there, Johnny. What do we got? Quick thing. What do you got?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
You should have asked for stuff.
We asked for stuff.
Oh, and he's got no stuff.
Oh, today was stuff.
Stuff. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, maybe next time. Hope, what's up?
I'm only here because Zoom popped up on my laptop and I couldn't figure out how to make it go away. It's like those Facebook notifications that some people have been having trouble with. Not me.
So, but yeah, we do use Zoom, that great cloud video collaboration platform, and it popped up on Hope's desktop. Said, all right, what the hell? You know, I'll join a meeting. And here she is. So it is AV Power Up, new season, season 3. Your host is me. Good luck. We have two QSCers to go along with Corey Schaefer. She brought friends. Corey, introduce your friends, would you?
So, well, and I'm going to have them chime in here as well, but my new companion at QSC joined about the same time as I did, Mr. Joey D'Angelo.
There you go.
Joey. Hey guys.
Yep.
Joey D.
That's all you got?
Yeah. He's usually mouthier than this, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. Maybe
in the office, right?
Joey late in the
evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joey D.
Like, yeah, how you guys doing? Glad to be here.
Doing good. Well, we're glad you're here, man. Mr. TJ Adams. Are you going to tell us what the TJ stands for, TJ?
Do you really want to know? I've been told it's Toe Jam, Thomas Jefferson, no guesses.
We had requests pouring into the show. They heard TJ Adams was going to be on and said, we need to know what the TJ means.
Tobias Johnson.
Oh.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that one before, Johnny. Well, no, I will say, I will let the entire AV industry know, because I love it. My name is Thurlow Johannan Adams.
That's way better than Tobias Johnson.
I'll say fuck. See, I said it. What? That's not too gratuitous, is it?
we allow gratuity and all kinds of other things on this.
Hope told me not to be too gratuitous.
Say it again.
Thurlow Johannan Adams.
Very distinguished.
Now imagine telling your friend in like kindergarten or junior high or whatever age in school, hi, my name's Thurlow. That doesn't work. I'm sorry.
So you don't pick up women with that name.
But he did pick up a woman.
A very nice woman.
I have a beautiful woman hiding behind her book.
Oh, look at her. There she is. We're hiding behind her. What is that, a WordPress book?
Actually, fun she's reading. Starting a blog.
WordPress. And some of us do that, as a matter of fact.
In fact, she's learning HTML5, CSS3.
Nice.
Smart girl.
Does she want to work for the show?
Maybe. Well, who knows? She could learn something.
First time I've seen, as he calls her, his lady.
Yeah.
His
lady.
Hey,
that's right. My wife of 20 years, Kara Adams. She won't say hi. She's fresh out of the gym, so she won't.
Hey, really quick, Thurlow, what was the middle name again?
Johannan.
If I was a child, I would be like, hi, my name is Thurlow Johannan Adams Esquire. That would have gotten all the ladies.
That's
ESQ for sure.
Sounds like a famous author from the South in the 1860s.
Like a steamboat pirate.
TJ, I'm really proud of you for telling the whole story.
Really? How proud are we of this guy? I mean, he is becoming a force in the industry in AV, IT, networking, and all. But the best thing he's ever done so far is actually tell everybody what the TJ means.
I love it.
Has anybody checked to see if he's trending yet?
We should see if his hashtag is trending.
Thurlow is trending.
Hashtag Thurlow Johannan Adams.
But I know you're my friend if you call me Tej, because that's the phonetic pronunciation of TJ, right?
Right. So anyway, the Twitter handle is at AVTEJ, T-E-E-J. Now, the at AV Thurlow Johannan, that just there's not enough characters. You can't do
that.
Yeah. Well, pretty soon, that's why Twitter can support all that.
Right.
We gotta, plus, if I friended somebody, if I followed somebody on Twitter, they'd think I was a creeper.
That is a creep. Your parents gave you a creeper really. Name, Teej. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Hey, I was a child of the 70s.
TJ is going to have to work for us and everybody else in the industry. But TJ Adams, I interviewed TJ Adams at Infocom. It's a great interview.
It is.
We talked about. I did, yes.
Nice, Jay.
That's a good question. I did get the job. But yeah, tell Joe I got the job, Corey. But anyway, yeah, we talked about QSIS Core 110, 110S. That's it, right?
110F. Oh, 110F.
F, I'm sorry, the F, right. Why did I say yes? I don't know. The QSIS Core 110F. And I got to tell you, revolutionary stuff. And TJ's continued to talk about it, write blogs about it. As a matter of fact, one of his blogs I was talking about today. So, Corey, we said we're going to talk about the Core 110F, okay? And
so we're gonna have TJ talk a bit about QSIS. We're going to have him talk about BYOD.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Bring your own whatever. Is that it?
Bring your own dog.
Bring your own dog. I like that, Johnny.
Oh, has anybody brought a dog tonight?
I have a cat who seems to want to climb about on my lap.
We don't have BYOC yet in the industry. I'm sorry.
Mine's asleep next to me, but.
All right. Well, yeah, Katie's got a dog. That's true. Johnny's got his assistant.
Hey, Katie has an alpaca, right?
And an alpaca.
thank you. Alpacas.
We used to have goats in Tucson, but
no, we had BYOD, BYOG, bring your own goat. So
Joe D'Angelo,
I don't know what's going on
here.
What
are you doing, buddy?
Sorry,
Joey's doing.
This is the wrong show, Joey.
You do not have my credit card information to do that.
I have $1 bill.
No.
You can't see what's going on, Schaefer. But
that was pretty good.
Have you guys ever taken a bomb prince call?
No, I have. Not that I
look
can.
Look at Corey rooting through her wallet over there. Oh, yeah.
Boy, she's a high roller.
Look at her with a $20 bill. Oh, my gosh. I think people are going to have to see this one day. It's going to be posted on video.
That was classic. That was a good.
That was a classic moment.
We have to do it before Joey D'Angelo gets married because he's actually engaged. And getting married.
Yep. Wow. Ladies, listen. Joey D'Angelo is engaged.
Well, now we know why.
Well, of course we know why now. I mean, wow.
His fiance took a run, I can see. She's not.
These are like Chuck moments already, I tell you. I mean, we had Chuck moments like that. You know, we'll talk about that next year. Yeah, TJ, Core 110F, we got BYOD, we got all kinds of fun stuff. And also, we're going to get to Hope tonight before she has to go, because I know she's got to go in a little while, because Hope is going to be bringing us the power up starting tonight. And so we'll get to her. Wait, Hope didn't know this yet, so she's going to have to make it up as she goes.
So she can,
that's all right. Hope Chuck made it up, so you can make it up too. But TJ, talk a little, and then we'll get Hope going, and we'll continue.
Well, the 110, I mean, for those who haven't heard about it, I mean, I've been hearing.
If you haven't heard about it, that's.
Oh, who hasn't heard about this already, you know?
Well, right? I have to say.
We have nine listeners, TJ, so maybe one of them hasn't heard. Surprise.
Well, let's just pretend. Pretend.
I talk to at least two or three customers of ours a day, you know, and consultants and integrators and end users. And, you know, we seem to have some people really taking a look at the 110. I think it's sort of the sort of broken the ice. QSIS has been released since 2008. And I don't think we were quite on the radar screen of a lot of the install integrators, unless you were doing a theme park or a big convention center. And now with the 110 at the price point it's at, I mean, it's really, there's no excuse to not to look at it as a viable conference room product or a small bar or a cafetorium or whatever. I mean, it's a great multi-purpose box. 24 IO in one rack space for a really banging price. I mean, it's the best in class. And you get the benefit of having the product be, you know, something that's software-based, which means you have upgradability and have a great long life of that product with new features that you get for free as we come up with new ideas and enhance it. So I think there's a lot of benefit to our approach being a software-based product line. So.
TJ, Joey and I spend a lot of time talking to consultants and end users, and from the end user perspective, one of their biggest concerns is that they buy hardware and then, you know, something new comes out, right? So they're always reluctant to, you know, put in hardware
right.
and feel like, you know, did I miss the buy on the next new thing? So being software based is a great approach.
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of benefits. I like to tell the story about how QSIS, again, came out in 2008, but we decided to do echo canceling, and we didn't have to make you buy a card. We didn't have to make you go change out and forklift upgrade your product, your install. And so, you know, that's the advantage. I mean, look at you, you think about your smartphone or your PC, you don't have to rebuy a whole new piece just to get a new feature. So that's the promise of that software layer. That I think, or again, I've said it in other shows, but I mean, I think the future is there. QSC is just a little bit early to the party, but I think it'll just be the way we think of signal processing in the future, whether it's us or others. So mm-hmm. it's good to be first in some kind. Sometimes.
Well, you know, that's true. It's good to be first. And again, we met at Infocom. We talked about it. And Jane Johnson, actually, who was supposed to be with us tonight, she is under the weather, so she emailed me at the last minute, and I went, oh, well. The story goes that Jane got in touch with me before Infocom and said, I have to introduce you to TJ Adams so you can talk to him about the Core 110F and really get the lowdown. And I tell you, that was really excellent. Excellent information I picked up from you, TJ. And I think it really, and I tell you what, that went out on video and it really got a lot of views. I looked at the views and everything, it got a ton of views. So I think it went out very well to the environment and really, really strong technology as far as I'm concerned in the whole AV industry and audio, the audio of the AV industry. So, you know, it's all good stuff. But I heard one thing you said, and you said you have no excuse not to look at this, right? So I think that's a great sales pitch. And you say, listen, if you don't, I'm going to bring in Joey D.
And he's Corey and Joey are sick at him.
Yeah, we're going to make
it. What are the big plays? I mean, Corey and Joey are here at QSC mm-hmm. to really help us reach out to the end user. And that's something that in the IT space that I come from, it is more common for manufacturers or vendors to approach high-level executives, C-level executives in other companies and really pitch not the product. And you know, we talked about it not being the box, and that can't be your approach, right? And it has to be something that is a philosophical and, you know, almost a belief that you impart with that that end user to get them to understand what the benefits are of our approach. And I think the secret to that for QSC is the fact that we're a software-based platform. And we are embracing, we're natively an IT platform. So it's not like we started out as an AV box and decided to add an RJ45 port to it and, you know, kind of work our way into that space. We started from the ground up with QSIS being intended for an enterprise deployment. And so that's where Joey and Corey have a real advantage, I think, coming to work at QSC at this place and time, that we have a real message. It's not just, oh, here's our box and, oh, you can, you know, look at these wonderful things it's got. Look, it's got 24 IO on it. That's great. But the real pitch is how meaningful that is to an IT manager or a tech manager that they can trust that we will continue developing that platform in a way that suits their security needs, their routability needs on their network, that we're not just sticking to audio. And I keep hinting at that, but we're working on other stuff. So well, QSIS is not relegated to that.
Didn't the company even just legally change its name?
No,
it did.
Really? Did that happen? They didn't find out.
That's right. QSC Audio Products LLC has been our name for, gosh, the last 23 years, I think it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just changed it to QSC. So
QSC.
there's a reason for that. So people know us as an amp company. They know us in some ways as a speaker company. And I think we have a great story. I mean, QSC is one of the most persistent companies and management teams I've ever seen in the space. So about 10 and a half years ago, we decided to do speakers, long before my time at the company. And everybody thought we're crazy. Why would we want another speaker vendor manufacturer? And now QSC is one of the largest speaker manufacturers in the world, along with our amplifiers. And so this is just the next foray into really changing our game. We are no longer an amplifier or even a DSP company. In fact, we are. If you look closely at the Core 110, it is not called a DSP. It's called an appliance.
Right.
Again, back to that, you know, tether to IT. That box is a processor for all sorts of things in the future. And so when we say upgrading it, we don't mean just upgrading audio features. We mean a lot of other things that we're working on right now.
If you look at these boxes in terms of processor and memory space, they probably have more processing power and more memory space than any other AV product out there. Unless it's an NVR or
yep. But again, it's that software layer. So, you know, as we change out, and that's the future. So Johnny Moto just said controls on his text.
Johnny just likes to text. He doesn't speak. He just likes to text TJ.
What's that mean, Johnny?
Controls?
We also have a control, right? So
right.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we could talk about that or not. Or
yeah, we can. I mean, QSC, we will be a control video audio company. And we already are control and audio. If you look at QSIS is a more powerful platform than any of the current, what I would gently call legacy platforms out there. We are a full control platform. So we do have that layer there that we're not dependent on a prior paradigm that you have to, and that's a trap that a lot of manufacturers are into just by legacy. You start out with a platform, it's the most current technology when you start that platform, but then it eventually doesn't keep up with the current generation of technology. And so QSC right now has the advantage because we are just starting out in control and soon to be video. And so therefore, we aren't constrained by any prior paradigm that keeps us on some particular narrow path. So that's the beauty of it being a software basis as well. We can also easily in the future change out our paradigm without having to completely re-engineer our platform.
Oh, Corey, I'm sorry, TJ, finish.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I mean, that's the beauty of, I mean, we are used to that, whether we realize it or not, in all of our daily lives with the current generation of technology we work with every day in our smartphones and our computers. Oh, yeah. So, you know.
So what I was going to say is, Corey, you buy a display, you get components from this company that's on my hat right now, and everything else comes from QSC. Does that make sense?
Does make sense.
There you go.
I
see?
Everything coming from QSC.
We wrapped it right here on this show, you know.
I mean, I'm not going to argue about it, right? I mean, let's just buy QSC everything. I'm working on...
Hey, listen, game over. You own the industry. Show over. Thank you very much for coming. Drive home.
Sold.
So before we get on to the other guy in the room, Joey D, from Brooklyn, well, he should be. Hope Roth is here. She's back. She's got the power up. I know she made up something as she was sitting there. So she may have some QSC talk, but before you do that, Hope, can you power up?
Sure. Let's talk HDCP.
Let's do it.
HDCP 2.2 coming out. New version of a copy protection. A lot of people are confused because lots of stuff has been getting upgraded lately. We've got 4K, we've got HDCP 2.2, we've got HDMI 2. They all sort of work together, but not quite. And so a lot of people get them confused. So I thought we could talk about that for 30 seconds, and then I have to go to bed. 4K We talk about 4K all the time. Not a banned word on the show yet. Maybe it should be.
Very soon.
Ultra high definition, big TV, lots of pixels, larger color space is the big one. That is 4K. That is your display. That is your resolution. That is how many little tiny dots we can fit on the screen to make our picture nice and pretty while we watch cat videos from YouTube and just blow them up. HDMI 2.0, new cable. Necessary for a new version of HDCP. Necessary for the bandwidth to get all those little tiny pixels onto your screen for your 4K. Not necessarily HDCP 2.2 compliant. So you could buy a fancy new TV. You could buy a fancy new AV receiver. You could buy a fancy new Blu-ray player. You could go to put in your fancy new Blu-ray and bam, maybe it won't work. Not quite yet, but once they start enforcing copy protection, because HDCP 2.2 is the new way of trying to get around all those nerds who figured out how to make HDCP original, OG, able to be copied. So it's a new version of the encryption. It makes it so that if you want to play your fancy new Blu-ray, it can only be viewed on something that says, hey, I am a TV. I am not a recorder. I promise I'm a TV. And everything in your AV system must be compliant with the new version of HDCP. Problem with that was they said for a long time it's coming out. They never really released the spec. And so there's a lot of 4K and HDMI 2.0 products out there that are not compliant with the new version of the copy protection. They are not now and they will not ever be because it is hardware based. So something to think about when you are trying to watch, when Star Wars comes out on Blu-ray and we all lose our minds watching it at home. And that has been your power up.
Says Hope, damn it.
Yes.
Yes. Katie, how do you like the way Hope describes things? Isn't she like, you know, she just delivers it, doesn't she?
Just delivers it. It's right. It's to the point. You get it?
It is.
Hope keeps it real.
Would you love to have this woman just marketing for you and just doing videos and just doing them just like that, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Katie likes this.
I already have a day job, Corey.
I try to sell Hope off all the time.
It keeps me very, very, very busy. That's why I have to be succinct and to the point because I'm going to be on airplanes for like 6 hours.
Yes, Hope has to leave soon because she's getting on a plane and going to Saskatchewan to do control work.
No, that's next.
So, yeah, thank you, Hope, for the power up. And so anyway, we were going to get back to you guys. And Joey has moved us to the next house over. Thank you, Joey. there's only one person who's ever been mobile on the show, and that's Gina Sansevero is the only person who we call it the Gina Sansevero Project. All right, like Blair Witch. Joey has just recreated the Gina Sansevero Project for us. I'm kind of seasick right now. Okay?
I was thinking that too.
Were you thinking you're like a little seasick right now, TJ?
Yeah, definitely.
TJ's going to hurl.
guys, just take some Dramamine out of your purse.
Joey's high energy.
Oh, did you hear what he said, TJ? Did you hear what he said to you, Furlough?
I did.
Oh, my gosh. okay, Joey. There you go. So whenever Joey comes on, we get Dramamines for the next one. Although he's telling us to man up there, Katie. What do you think?
I'm just saying right now I'm not going to be mobile, but as soon as it starts staying lighter later, I'm going to take this show outside.
Oh.
I'm gonna run in circles, and you guys are going to trip.
Oh, God. The mountains of Montana, what do you know?
Yeah, we're going to go. Yeah,
just don't get attacked by a bear, okay?
That I cannot guarantee.
So Mr. Joey D, who I think is from Brooklyn, but he's really not. He's out in Orange County. Joey, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
That's good. So TJ talked a little software-based. He talked a lot of Core 110F. Corey just is QSC and Core One Tech. Gee, you right, Corey? Yeah. You rock it. You rock it, right? But Joey D'Angelo's here, and Joey's going to bring us the Joey D perspective. So what you got, Joey D?
Well, we're still kind of talking about the Core 110, and my perspective is that, you know, I've been using QSC cores in various shapes and incarnations for the last several years. And with the Core 110, from a design standpoint, it really opens up the market for QSC to the smaller, you know, 8 to 10 person conference rooms. And, you know, I was kind of very, very excited about where QSC was going with the Core 110 and the Core 250s, Core 500s, Core 1100s, Core 3100s. That whole architecture was just right in line with my design philosophy for the last 10 years of AV. And I just noticed that the industry was very entrenched in doing things with one piece of equipment for every function in every AV system. We need an echo canceller for this. We need a control processor for that. We need a video switcher for this. And with the proliferation of software and network systems and products like the Core, we can start to wean the industry off that design approach and off that way of doing things and open up new verticals, new profit centers, new ways of kind of building AV systems. And QSC was kind of so in line with that, that that's kind of why I'm here at QSC now.
So Joey, you come from the consulting side. You're with Charles M. Salter. And Corey gave you a call one day and said, Joey, listen, this QSC thing,
I wish.
You gotta. You just gotta, right?
The reason I am at QSC is because of Mr. Thurlow right down there.
Joey, stop it. Now it's out. It's everywhere. Now everyone knows it's my fault.
You're already a hashtag Thurlow J right now. So
I was at a rest stop off a freeway.
Like, who's this poor guy?
Seriously, I was very frustrated because the way I was designing systems, I was getting a lot of pushback from a lot of the major manufacturers. And, you know, I was talking to TJ about, you know, QSC and, you know, he eventually, next thing I know, him and Joe Pham are sitting in my office one day and, you know, like I think we all get along great. And I really like where the Core is going and where it can go. And I wanted to be in on the ground floor and help kind of, like I said, wean the industry off the traditional legacy approach and get us further down the yellow brick road.
Joey was one of our insiders. Sorry, Corey. Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, Joey was one of our insiders. So he's known about a lot of what we've been up to at a trusted level since before he was at QSC. So I think it's befitting that he's here now and can, you know, partake and be helping us move that forward. So I'm excited that he's here. So sorry, Corey Schaefer, I didn't mean to.
So what I was just going to say about Joey is I think that what's so cool about having Joey D'Angelo at QSC is he was at Charles Salter actually for 18 years, quite well known. And he's a visionary kind of guy. So he does and has always thought outside the box and just didn't do the cookie cutter approach and always has been thinking about what is the next thing, the next phase, etc. And he's been so evangelical about something that he's passionate about. So to have him a part of QSD it's just really great. Really, I think really rounds out the team quite nicely.
Yeah. And when I heard that Corey was going to join us, I was like, I think I made the right move.
hey, listen, when Corey Schaefer joins you, you made the right move.
Yeah, I've only had two jobs in my life. I worked at a car stereo shop from high school through college.
I read about
that. And I worked at Salter.
Yep.
And now I'm at QSC. So, you know, That's it for my life, I think.
I think you guys are lifers at this point, huh? Don't you think? Yeah. Corey, are you a lifer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is it.
Yeah, Joe Pham, you got three lifers on the show. What do you know? Yep. Huh? Congratulations.
TJ, you're a lifer, right? TJ?
Absolutely. I've been here 2 years already. It goes by fast.
2 years? He's a senior member already.
That's nothing. Have you ever heard the term AV doorknob guy? You know, people who are at the next job, the next job.
Yeah,
the next job.
There's a lot of AV doorknobs in this industry, let me tell you. But you anyway.
Walking around QSC every day is really an amazing thing because QSC has such an amazing pool of talents. There's just a lot of really amazing people that work there. It's like I work inside the Hall of Fame, you know. And,
wow.
I didn't feel that way with her, that's for sure. But you know, I talk to Rich Zweibel. I get emails from Joe Peavy. I, you know, talk to Joe Pham. You know, like it's just really amazing. You know, it's like
across from John Graves, right? So
yeah, John Graves. Like every phone conversation he has with people, just listening to it is just amazing because he knows so much.
Hey, Katie,
or Keeban Boulder, the guys that invented open architecture DSP. I mean, come on. Yeah. That's what I interviewed with these guys. I was like, oh my God, I'm working with people who invented an industry I've worked in for the last 10 years. You know,
it all took place at QSC, man.
Yeah.
You know. Wow. Hey, Katie, new hashtag AV, AV doorknob. Okay.
That's not mine, by the way. I heard that from somebody.
No, I heard that from somebody, but yeah. AV doorknob is another. We will collect hashtags on each show.
Okay. It should be question mark. Are you an AV doorknob?
Are you a hashtag?
We'll start a survey and put names to follow it.
Yeah. Oh, with an ad after it. I like it. Let's work on that, okay? Maybe tonight.
No, Corey, not tonight.
Not tonight. Yeah, we're done after this. Oh, I'm done after this.
Done.
Yeah, some of us need to sleep, Corey. I don't want to get a million notifications.
No, I'm done in a beer or two after this. So, Mr. Moda, JModa3, before we get back to BYOD, whatever that means, I'm still trying to figure it out. What was your segment supposed to be tonight, Johnny?
How's Johnny sleeping tonight? The answer is like a baby because he doesn't have one.
I sent the email. You obviously didn't get it.
I read it.
Or so
my
got?
Assistant probably read it. Forgot to refer to me. Controls, man. This whole year, I don't know if you're aware of this little show called CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, run by the newly named CTA, formerly CEA, Consumer Electronics Association, now known as Consumer Technology Association. Smart move on their part because it's technology. It's not electronics. It's just technology. Mm. Happening in Las Vegas, one of favorite or least favorite places in the world, depending on how you feel about gambling, sex, drug, and rock and roll. All happens there. Curling happening now. I don't know if you've been watching any of it. It's connected to everything. Connected toasters. Samsung just announced a connected refrigerator. The whole thing is a screen. Does it sound dumb to you? Well, I saw some of that stuff six years ago at CES, and then I was kind of like, it's interesting to see where things are going, and they're now finally being released. Talk about hanging out with Vincent Bruno. Maybe you heard of him. CEO of Cydia, and he's talking about, I can't name their names of the company, but who wants smart connected appliances and everything? QC talked about being appliance, moving forward, things like that, right?
But not refrigerators.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, when I pitch connected devices or controlled environments, I treat it as an appliance, not as a luxury or none of that stuff. It's an appliance because that's what you're paying for. That's what you have in the building. It's an appliance, an extension of the building.
It could be IT related too, right, Johnny?
It's all that. Well, it lives on the network, and if your appliance lives on a poorly constructed network, well, guess what? Doesn't matter how great your interface is, the whole system is garbage. If it doesn't work, your network is bad, well, you're going to have some issues.
That's right.
So this year, moving forward, connected everything. Intelligence moving forward and buildings, controls everywhere. Savant has announced a pretty cool little remote system for people walking into Best Buy or, well, the Magnolia Center, if you will. Is that good or is that bad for you as the integrator? see it as a good thing. Just the way I feel about IoT, smart bulbs, smart connected everything, because what all that's doing is giving everyone a taste of one piece of the entire puzzle. If you want more, you're going to have to call, who do you think? Well, the professionals, you, me, Hope, anyone else, right?
On this show.
Gives the quote-unquote end user, and there should be a better term for that, but currently that's what it is. She gives the end user a better, a good taste of what is possible. Hmm. And when you want it all to work correctly and you want to move forward, call the pros.
There you go.
I think this year is going to be pretty prosperous for everybody.
Good. And this segment, I believe, is called Johnny Moda is Connected. What do you guys think about that, huh? Johnny's connected.
It's a good theme.
You like that? He really is connected, by the way.
We should reinvent end user. What is it? Hopeful technology lover.
Can that be a hashtag?
A long way.
When you see something on a marketing sheet and you're like, oh, I hope this really works, and then you get it and it sort of doesn't.
Yeah, I know companies forget it, I won't say that. But anyway.
Careful.
Yeah, careful. It's my show. I can say what I want. No, TJ, I mean, that's all true. And you're right, Johnny, the network, you know, it's all about the network. TJ Adams knows it's all about the network. You know, Joey D'Angelo and all the years in consulting and all, you know, this is all basis for what you do as well, Joey. So, you got that. You got BYOD, again, whatever that animal is. Corey, you want to take on that BYOD animal?
Yeah, I'm going to hand it to my buddy TJ.
Oh, it's a handoff.
She's already been texting me. She's like, "You ready for this?" I'm always ready.
Oh, look at that. He's already prepped. Yeah, bring it around. He's already been prepped.
I'm all ready to go. But first,
we do have one on this.
Baby dogs.
See? Bring your own dogs.
It's called a hashtag AV puppy.
Yeah, BYOD. Bring your own dog.
It's a bring that's your right. own bring your own that dog is, tonight.
That's the face of Cusis right there. Isn't it
wow.
cute?
Wow.
All right.
Wow. All right.
My wife's rolling her eyes at me. That's bad.
Yeah,
all right, BYOD. So I think that's just fancy stuff for saying that people want to easily just walk into any venue, whether it's your boardroom or multi-purpose room or whatever, and use the most intimate object in their life, which is a phone or a computer in some cases for people. So it's not just your tablets and your smartphones. So I think it's really, again, comes back to embracing the right kind of technology as a vendor and a manufacturer to develop your platform around, because there are things out there like HTML5, who I mentioned my wife is learning for her blogging, that are ubiquitous. They are not invented here. In other words, they're not an AV-specific platform. And they're just what IT folks and software engineering folks that are in the outside wider world of programming are just used to. And so the end user benefit, of course, is they can use any device, and HTML and HTML5 with various other languages allows you to write an application that is target agnostic. So that's what the user wants. They don't know that's what they mean, but I think that's where BYOD is headed. And Corey and I were talking this morning briefly about some pet peeves of mine. And one of them is, you know, the AV industry so looks up to IT. We so aspire to join that group that sometimes we kind of miss little nuances like protocols to us. We think of protocols like Dante as the protocol name, or we think of AVB as the protocol. And we rarely realize that there is a suite of protocols around that. And that's the same for BYOD and supporting that type of environment for your platform. You can't just think of it as this monolith. Like, I'm BYOD. I have an iOS app. Well, that's not BYOD. And it also has to do with intelligence and awareness in your system. So your system has to be more than just a logic programmed platform. It has to be an aware program, something that's dynamic, that has a framework for writing programs within. And so to me, BYOD, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just what the user thinks of when they say, I want to use my phone. But there's a whole lot behind that from a development perspective that we have to be aware of in the industry. And it goes out to manufacturers, but also folks like Cope and programmers out there who are coming up with the user experience. They're using tools and frameworks given to them by companies like QSC and Crestron and whatnot. But in the end of the day, we as manufacturers have to give the right tools to stay up with what the expectation from the user is. And the expectation is, I just want it to work. I don't want to think about connections. I don't want to think about, you know, drop-down menus and all these things that we as technicians and technologists just, we blows right past that. So we have to, I think, be more aware of what that expectation is and meet it more appropriately. So that's how I look at it.
Really well said. You know, we want to adapt to the end user, not have them have to adapt to us as manufacturers or us as the industry. And people just need and want things to work. I mean, we're used to it now every day with consumer devices, right? So we automatically hop into our car, it transfers hands-free. We just have these experiences every day, and we're not sitting there looking for drop-down menus. And it just has to be just dirt simple. Over the holidays, I spent it in Denver, and I have my mother-in-law is like 85. And it's so cool to watch her on her device, because she's doing all these things, and she's 85, and it's just very intuitive for her. And that's how this industry needs to be.
Yep, good user experience design. Yeah. Yep. Another element to that that I failed to mention is just being able to be ubiquitous. So you walk in the room and guess what you have usually in a meeting? You have your laptop, you have your cell phone, your mobile phone, you might even have a tablet. You might also have a stationary device that's dedicated to the room, like a touchscreen. Having the user experience be identical in use, but multi-targeted and tracking and seamless, where I can drop one device down, pick up another, and carry on exactly where I left off in the last device. That is something that isn't quite there in a lot of products, and that's something that we are really pursuing as a design ethos. But Hope is leaving us, so I'll stop yapping. Bye, Hope.
Bye, guys.
Yes, Hope has to leave. Bye, so
I'm leaving on a jet best. Plane. Good night.
Okay. Good night, Hope. Be safe.
So that makes what Corey was talking about, you know, somebody who isn't thinking about the technology but is used to a certain workflow and seamlessness to be able to walk in a room or wherever and be able to just pick up one device or the next. So BYOD to me is more nuanced than just, oh, I get to use my cell phone to control this room.
You know, TJ, it's interesting because I read articles where they say the end users, and Johnny's saying, what do we call an end user? I say, actually another thing from this show. Let's have a contest. New name for end users, okay? All right? Contest. What do you think, Corey? Contest, new name for end user?
Yeah.
Okay. But TJ, I'll let you get back to that. But I read a lot of articles where I think the enterprise is saying, listen, we just want to be able to go in and use the room, okay? Or use this or use that. Make it all about the user experience now. And yes, they're using devices, but then again, let's not go too far with that, because I think some of them are still getting into the mobility BYOD thing. I think the industry is trying to push too hard in some respects, and some are not really promoting it enough where it really lays, especially on the QLC side. But again, as you pointed out, it's like it's the user experience. You know, you have to design this for the user. You have to implement it for the user in mind. And I think a lot of people miss that point.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the manufacturer, it's kind of a caught-in-the-middle situation, because we really build tool sets for a integrator or a designer, a systems designer, to create that user experience.
There you go, aren't
necessarily creating the experience. And so, you know, my team is actually actively looking at how do we make a user experience that we have more control over as a manufacturer, yet still satisfy the plethora of needs that various end users have, you know, because each user has a different expectation. I've done some studies with folks out there, and, you know, each user experience screen, let's say on a touchscreen, can be wildly different and the expectations can be wildly different. So some of it's educating the end user as well, that once they start looking at a design with a integrator or with a consultant or a programmer, that if that, that programmer can somehow educate that user that they really do understand the best workflow, because that's the pitfall a lot of times users fall into is, well, I want that button. Well, they don't realize the law of unintended consequences.
And they also don't know what they don't know, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, what I was told by the CTO of Juniper Networks was, he said, Joey, I want every one of my end users to come in and be doing what they need to be doing in this room in less than 3 button pushes. That's it. That's all you have to work with. I don't care how pretty the interface is. I don't care how you do it, but it's got to be 3 button pushes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. So, yeah. And you have the opposite extreme, you know, where they're like, you get committee decisions where there's too many chefs in the kitchen, so to speak, you know. So
that's so interesting, Joey, that you say that, because I did work in AV integration sales, and I got to tell you what's interesting. You say, hey, listen, we don't care what it looks like. We just want it to work. 3 button pushes, that's it. There's no 4. We're not kidding, right? 3. Mm-hmm. But I remember back in the day when they were saying, hey, we want to make this look really good, make it stand out. Oh, let's customize it for you, make it look good for it. Do you think the customer really cares how their logo and everything appears? Or maybe you do, but how, well, you've been in the business there, Joey. It's like, does everybody want the most customized control panel interface, and you're going to spend all this time on design and everything else, and it's going to cost more? I mean,
it should be somewhat aesthetic, but you know, a lot of what I see is that people are trying to, they're trying to mimic, you know, the interfaces we get on our phones.
Right.
Because everybody's familiar with it. I think if you set yourself up for this no more than 3 button pushes mindset, you have to come up with an interface that supports that. You can't just, you know,
I think they just don't know what they don't know, kind of to TJ's point. I mean, everybody loves to see their logo. They want to see things in light, you know, and you know, they don't know what locking into something very custom really means down the road when something has to be swapped out or changed.
Yeah, I mean, having a logo on a 10-inch touchscreen or a 12-inch touchscreen or whatever, you know, is great. I haven't specced out a touchscreen in 5 years, but you know, if your touchscreen is, you know, 6 inches or 7 inches, you know, if the logo is on there,
it's going to be minuscule.
It's going to be less than an inch.
Yeah, right.
So we're talking about something that's not really critical to the success of a conference room. And exactly. Even video preview. Like, I see a lot of conference rooms that would have these huge touch panels with video preview built in.
Yeah, yeah.
See on the screen what's up on there or what you're going to send to there. And no one uses that. That's another button push, and it's another destination for video that you have to figure out.
That's right. Exactly. You got to route video and all, and it's like another destination. I go, come on, really? You know.
Well, it's another $8,000.
Well, that's true too. It's a more money into the project, but
yeah.
And I remember, I'll tell you, as much as I sold, I rarely ever sold that. There was no need for it. So again, it's like,
never used it.
Right, exactly. So, you know, so from that side of the coin, you're right. And yeah, sure, they'll want their logos and everything else, but I think they just want the button pushes, the simplicity of it all, right? And just give it to us, make it work, you know, make it work for us, train us so we understand you have to come back 2 days later and train us
again. That's a key point right there. That is the biggest need, if I were to call a need that I've heard from end users out there so far, is just, yeah, we love our integrator. Yeah, they did a great job on the user experience design. But now I want to change out that panel that just died or that projector or whatever, or I want to add a new in and out of whatever kind, video or audio. And now they can't, they have to call somebody back. And the integrators, I think, at some point have realize that that's a bad thing too. Because at first it was somewhat defensive. You know, it was like, oh, well, we want to keep that revenue stream. We want to keep coming back. You know, it's another touch point. But I think there is a middle ground where you could design as a manufacturer vendor an interface that satisfies both worlds, where it gives the integrator that power to develop a really great user experience in their control, but then also gives some element of control back to the end user under proper training to be able to make some slight configuration changes as they need to without having to call up and schedule an integrator to come back. So I think that's part of what's kicking around in our mind as we think about control. And in fact, we're bringing out a bunch of people to QSC Boulder to have a big forum at the end of January, which will be picking people's brains, control programmers and end users, to get a fix on what that balance looks like between customization and auto-generated user experience that we control as a manufacturer and configurability that you hand back to the end user. So that's, to me, the tenets that you have to balance.
And I'm just going to chime in here and say that a big push that QSC as a company is doing, TJ just touched on it, is we're having lots of dialogue with, you know, and again, I don't know of a better word yet, the end user. So he's bringing a group to Boulder. Joey and I, you know, we're brought on a large segment of our time is to go out there and talk with end users and bring that data back into QSC and to help us just grow and be better as a company, you know, not just in product development, but in everything that we do as a company.
You know, and it's funny because Johnny just popped one on up before, I think, was the ultimate consumer. I'll tell you something interesting. I see the term end user and consumer, even enterprise, interchanged. And maybe you call them the enterprise consumer, the ultimate enterprise consumer. Maybe say the education consumer, the enterprise consumer, whatever. I mean, and maybe that makes a little more sense to the whole equation. And by the way, a control, you know, talk about control programming and all that. That's, I think, a broader topic for another show maybe. And that's the one Hope does because, you know, she's better than I am at something like that. But, you know, TJ, it does sound like, you know, where that's concerned, the QSC and talking more about control, a much broader topic. And you said you're doing something at QSC on topics. So, you know, it sounds like a lot of good things generating.
Yeah, we're learning a lot. I mean, to me, that's the best way to develop product is to understand your customers' needs. And a lot of times customers, and Joe and Corey and I have actually had recent conversations about this, it's in this industry in particular, technical industry, people will describe their actual need by a product description or a prescribed feature. And it's our job as a manufacturer and specifically individuals in the company that are managing the product to go past that and really dig down into what the user's need is and the workflow. Some of it feels like storyboarding for a novel, to be fair. I mean, there's a lot of thinking that goes on that's non-technical that really tries to get at workflow. And that's a really challenging thing. So that's what we're constantly spending a lot of hours on trying to dig into that. So.
Well, we're going to get this thing wrapping up soon, but Corey, we talked about the great QSC Core 110F. We talked about software base. We talked about BYOD. Anything else we should add here?
So one thing that I think often isn't spoke about enough at QSC is our speakers in the enterprise space.
Oh, yeah. Dynamite.
We're one of the only manufacturers also that has a shallow can speaker, so or a group of speakers. And had no idea how important these were until you know, we get into some of these environments where they just don't have enough room in the ceiling for speakers, but obviously we need sound. Mm. So there's a lot of great things at QSC that we currently have to sell and many things coming. Go ahead, Joey.
I was going to say, finish up because I just thought of something.
Yeah, jump in. That's what these are about.
When you say you're using a Core 110 in your design, and you're using a QSC loudspeaker with that Core 110, it's really amazing because the Core 110, you can just drag and drop the QSC speaker into your design within the QSIS software. And the Core 110 or the Core 250, the 500 or the 1100 or the 3100 or whatever.
It's the same software.
It's all the same software, but it recognizes that speaker and automatically builds in all these little adjustments into the speaker to make it perform better. So you can take, a $110 QSC ceiling speaker and make it sound as good as a $500, high-end residential loudspeaker just because of these little electronic corrections that it makes. And it's all built in to all of the Core software. It's pretty cool. So you can, I've been working with some end users on some designs in the last month and a half or 2 months or so where they want to use the Core processors, and we say, oh, by the way, let's do a shootout against, this brand loudspeaker that you're using. And we're using, it's called intrinsic correction, and we're using that, and it's built in to the Core processors and all the software. And we're getting performance, again, for, 50% of the cost. Mm-hmm. And it's really great, especially in a corporate environment, because in a corporate environment, you're not going for this ultra high end of audio quality. You're going for, vocals or presentation audio or YouTube video or website audio.
Yeah, but I would also say that, in the corporate environment, not enough thought is put to audio, right? So, and what typically goes wrong in a meeting is the audio. And if you don't have audio, you really don't have a meeting.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I got to tell you, Johnny just posted another comment that he'll be using them in wine country tomorrow in an installation. So from now on the show, what's going to happen is Johnny's just going to type chat and I'm going to say what he's thinking.
It's going to be like, I didn't want to cut anybody off. You guys were talking.
It's going to be the Marx Brothers. It's going to be the Marx Brothers, Harpo and Chico, and Johnny just, types and all. But what I wanted to say was Katie McGregor Bennett lives on the CD of Resi side, but then you said Resi Joey, and that's the side that Katie lives on. So I know Katie's absorbing this, and we are going to have shows that are really, going to be a little more CD of Resi centric. But Katie, go ahead, just give us a few comments here, and then we'll go wrap it up.
No, I think it was a really interesting conversation. I don't know QSC products at all. I've written from headlines and being in PR. It's definitely a brand that I'm aware of, but it was. Just from listening to you guys, great job on educating an audience on what you do. Really great job on hitting on high points and all of that. You got talking about end users and consumers, and so I guess I'm just going to dive into that one since it's most relevant to me. And I think that there's definitely a case for talking about it and trying to figure out what we call them. I think we're probably going to have better luck there than we are ever trying to figure out whether we're integrators, installers, are we electronic systems contractors, are we, insert term du jour here. But from where I sit, where I am primarily residential, have always been, but we've definitely merged it to commercial the last several years. So we kind of use the difference between residential and commercial. It's that residential is consumer and commercial is an end user. And so for us, it makes it very clear to differentiate who we're actually speaking to. When we try to merge those two into one, you sort of get the deer in the headlights look and who are we really talking about? So, I think there's probably some validity in keeping a bit of a delineation between the two. The challenge for me comes in then when are you talking about tech managers and advisors and consultants and, how do we sort of weave them into that conversation? They're not the ultimate end user or the ultimate consumer, as Johnny was saying, but, they're definitely a part of the use cycle. And, so it's, mm-hmm. It's tough. We just have such a tangled web of names and acronyms and,
It's true. And even as Joey and I will be out talking to maybe a venue and they'll talk about their customer as end user, but they really are in the same company, right?
So yeah.
So in higher ed, you might be talking to a tech manager, but he's talking about his end users, meaning professors coming into the room.
Right.
Katie, yeah. Katie, we document on the product management side personas. And so rather than end users, this very generic bucket, but we personify who's an IT manager for network engineering, who's an IT manager for app space, who's a AV technician. So we look at those and we try to target their needs individually, but they all group up under an end user. So you're right. It's a tough one to delineate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
We're talking to end users, but there's a whole other echelon out there called end users. So maybe we should
call them. Oh, wait a minute. Don't do this. No. We thought we were getting this all together. Now you just blew it. So,
so Katie, no, we do high-end residential stuff too as well. We have a couple of dealers that use some of our technology, kind of the IoT kind of way with QSIS being the core of their audio and their control processing. And we do that in cinemas too. So it's a very similar market to the, to the residential space.
Yeah. So that must be where I'm intersecting with you guys. We represent Stuart Film Screen.
We work with them. QSC has about 80% market share in North America of the big screen. So we do a lot of cinema. And a lot of it's control, and a lot of it is network media streaming. It's not just, you know, audio processing. So that's a whole different space. Mm.
Look at that, a match made on AV Power. You know, for some reason, this just happens. I don't know how. You know?
It must be you.
It always shows Corey's on. That's match it. Maker, I figured it out.
Katie, I once did an $80 million residence for a rich guy in Atherton, and we called this project Resimercial.
I like that term. I like that term. That would suit so much of what I work with. I love it. Can I use it?
Yeah, sure. But Katie, you can now have that word.
It's commercial dental.
Commercial. Oh, wow. That's doing installs in dentist office, right?
I was just saying, that's what I thought, Corey. Exactly. But I thought that might be too big a dork to say it. But
does anybody want to do commercial dental installs? Because I hear it's a whole new realm in AV. and on that note,
it's a vertical.
That's right. So wrapping this thing up the way we I don't have the usual person who helped me wrap up before. So everybody pitch in. Corey Schaefer, the wonderful Ms. Corey Schaefer. She, again, did the first AV Power Up, the last one of 2015, the first one of the new season in 2016. You'll be back at the end of... Yeah, you're all AV powered up, and you're going to be back on the last one this year. We've already you and Jan Sandry are coming back to close up the year again, right?
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's definite. And we're all going to jump off that building first at Infocom before we do, right? If we live.
Right on, yeah.
Well, you'll live because you're a paraglider sailor.
No, I'm powered up, so.
You are powered up, so. TJ Adams, buddy, thanks very much.
Thank you so much. And everyone needs to know we worked twice as hard on the show. We did it twice, practically, right?
Yeah, I will tell that story too.
Record twice, air once.
The first ever dual power AV power up shows.
We were simply testing platforms.
Yeah, that's all. The 10-minute one we'll post one day. We do 10-minute shows too to come. Joey D'Angelo, Joey D. Thanks for stopping by, Joey. It's been great. Miss Katie McGregor, the wonderful Miss McGregor Bennett.
Katie McGregor Bennett,
we got it. KMB Communications, you can't say KMB without Katie McGregor Bennett. Thank you very much. Out there in Montana, and what's that hashtag again, Katie?
Tech in MT.
So we're going to start using that one, putting it out. Everybody in Montana, that great state, look for it. JMOTA 3. Thank you, buddy. Have you got a quick stuff?
Quick stuff or a quick thing?
Don't do this to me.
I don't know. Life lessons from Johnny. It's so hard being a single mom when you have no kids and you're a male teenager.
And on that note. Thank you, everybody, very much. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening, and we will see you next time.